It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
When it's time to party, we will party hard.
It's Buffalo Bills Football Friday.
It's like if we had played last week in a normal situation, back-to-back weeks, you know, it's got to be behind us. And those are learnable moments. And one pass is not going to define our season. One pass in particular, like that type of pass. So it's not indicative of who we are as a team. And we've moved on from it. So, you know, we got a big challenge this week. And that's life in the NFL. And that's where you got to roll from one week to the next and stay consistent in your approach.
There's a lot of excitement, for sure. And whenever you got guys that obviously feel good and they can go out there and do their job, but you have depth behind them as well, it makes their jobs a lot easier and makes our coach's job a lot easier, too, when you got guys that you can go in there and trust. But we've had some guys step up this year that have been unbelievable. Ike, with what he's been able to do and stepping up for, whether it be John moving from left guard to center, or Brian Winters is out, whatever the case may be, with Cody missing, guys just go up and they step up and they do their job, and that's the sign of a really good team.
He just doesn't seem like a rookie. Some teams try to take away Keenan Allen, maybe double him and stuff like that. And you can tell, you know, he kind of looks to him, but he comes off him right away, which as a young quarterback, that's impressive because a lot of guys kind of stare that guy down. He's reading the field, he's reading the formations, the defensive plan against him, and he's able to make, you know, big throws. So definitely not a rookie. You know, he was forced to come in and play some good ball, and he's definitely doing that.
On WGR Sports Radio 550.
Hey, Football Friday. Happy Football Friday. Happy Black Friday. Happy day after Thanksgiving. And we're going to have lake effect snow next week. All right. Woo! How you doing there, partner? We're going to check in. We hear from Jeremy? No, we don't have Jeremy? Okay, we'll check in with Jeremy. We have lots of football to get to today. Bills and the Chargers. It seems like forever since we've had a Bills football game to talk about. I mean, I know it's been 2 weeks. Seems longer than that. Big game coming up on Sunday. We'll break it down all morning long with you. We will get you updated on the standings. We'll get updated on the schedule, what other games are going on. Okay. Jeremy, you there? Okay. He says he's there, Brayton, so we'll try and figure out what's going on, and we'll get him in. In the meantime, it is M&T Bills Fan Football Friday. Are you the biggest Bills fan? Tweet us at WGR550. Use the hashtag community of Bills fans to be M&T's Bills fan of the week. M&T Bank, official bank of your Buffalo Bills. We can even talk about yesterday. There was football yesterday, two games instead of three games. Actually, the big football story today, outside of locally, we're thinking Bills Chargers, of course, and we'll talk about that all morning. The big story nationally with the NFL, neither are yesterday's games, and both end up turning into blowouts, although there were some entertaining plays in them, and it's quite honestly for me, it's always fun watching the Cowboys lose. But the big story is going to be what's going on with Baltimore and Pittsburgh. And Lamar Jackson has now tested positive. There are a dozen Ravens players who have tested positive. They have yet to get through what I think it's five straight days of positive tests. The facility remains closed. In all likelihood, will not open until Monday. We'll talk a little bit more about this, but at this point, we think there'll be some word. The speculation is there'll be some kind of word from the league today. It doesn't look like that game's going on Sunday. Now, it was pushed already since we last talked. It was supposed to be the Thursday night game last night. Of course, it wasn't played. It was pushed to Sunday at 1:15. It's entirely possible, because of everything that's still going on in Baltimore, that they'll do. Basically, remember what the Bills went through with Tennessee? That could happen again. So we might hear some word today about the Ravens-Steelers being pushed to Monday or maybe Tuesday. So we got that to get to. And it's Black Friday. Apparently, there are some shoppers out already and all that other stuff. Now I hear him. You there?
Yeah, apparently there's a mute button on this thing, and I guess a dog might have pushed it or something. I mean, he's sitting here.
Sure.
And,
So hang on. So your dogs, first off, your dog is one dog already chewed through your cable and cost you one morning, and now they're hitting your mute button?
Maybe. I don't know. I didn't even know the button was there until right now.
There's a conspiracy amongst your dogs to have you not work, apparently.
Apparently.
They want you to take a 3-day weekend. You got to work Sunday.
Yeah.
How you doing?
I'm okay. I have a lot to say about the Ravens and the Steelers. I'm excited to talk about it.
What do you want to start with? Go ahead.
I mean, we can start with anything. Thanksgiving post-game show. I was saying
Ravens Steelers. If you want to start with that,
but wherever you want to start,
man. I was in and out of the games yesterday. I wouldn't say it was appointment television. It was more background, so I was aware of some of the things that were going on. Meal was good. I was out by, and it was a struggle to get to 7:30 last night. I was so tired yesterday.
Yeah, I tweeted out an article. You should read it. We don't have to talk about it too much, but it's a really good article about the Lions.
I just opened it up, took a quick glance. I didn't have time to look at it. Why would I ever
read about the Lions? And the answer is it's all about Matt Patricia and the Patriot way.
Yeah.
And how it's fallen short in so many different spots in Detroit and how he's tried to basically change a bit and bond with his players. It's not much about the Patriots. It's a lot about the Lions, but it's basically that he tried to bring, you know, the Patriot way to Detroit. And reading the article, what the Patriot way is treating everyone like crap and demanding that they be better and screaming at Tom Brady and, you know, you're all – I'm thinking of the guy in Full Metal Jacket.
I was on again the other day.
Yeah, right. Oh. It sounds like that's the Patriot way, is that no one deserves any respect as a human being, and we go out and win.
Well, I think you've got a better shot of pulling that off if – Patricia was a good enough coach like Belichick, had a quarterback like Brady, and won football games. I saw something today. Somebody had a tweet about how he's lost more games in 3 years than Jim Caldwell lost in 4 years. And we know what their issue has been in fourth quarters. Maybe they're not Chargers bad, but they've blown games in the fourth quarter. I don't know. You have a guy like Matthew Stafford, a quarterback. I'm not sure how you keep losing football games as much as that franchise has lost.
Yep.
So I don't know if the watch has been on and just went up in its intensity after getting blown out yesterday. I mean, it was rough to watch there. Although you got to watch Deshaun Watson. Detroit continues to be just a wreck of a franchise.
Well, they were without a bunch of players. They've had a bunch of injuries. They had a bunch last year. They do have a bunch now too. Kenny Galladay, among others. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I mean,
DeAndre Swift didn't play yesterday. But I don't know if that would have made a difference.
Maybe. I mean, he's good. It was funny, like, watching the second half, the Lions came out deciding to run the ball. Mm-hmm. And I tweeted about this, too, over the course of the day and during the game, that the Lions just committing to the run when they were losing. And, of course, how'd that work, you know?
Yeah.
They ran down the field and kicked a field goal and then got blown out by Will Fuller and the Texans. Yeah, to me, the memory of Thanksgiving that I have, and you probably, if you were on Twitter, saw me tweet about this, this was the Will Fuller Thanksgiving for me. He's on my guillotine team. We're down to six people. Everything counts a lot more. The scores are higher, and Will Fuller did the job. So
yeah, good for you.
Thank you. I'd like to wish Will Fuller a very happy Thanksgiving. The good news for you, Brayton, is that Ezekiel Elliott did not do anything. So
yeah, that's true.
You know, kind of offset things, but off to a good start in the guillotine league.
I mean, at least T.J. Hockenson on my bench did all right because we don't know about Sunday's game with the Ravens Steelers, and I have Mark Andrews as my tight end.
Okay, so if that game gets canceled, then you get Hockenson.
Yeah, and he put up 11 points, so that's not terrible.
Yeah, that's been our rule in this league, Howard, and a lot of leagues trying to figure out what you have to do, naming a starter. What happens in the instance that a game gets canceled? As a commissioner in three leagues, my answer is it's best ball after that. I don't want to read anything about you name your alternate. I don't want to have to do paperwork for that.
Yeah.
You're just going to get the best player at that position on your bench. In this case, you know, Brayton doesn't have to say, I'll take Hockenson. He just gets Hockenson if Mark Andrews doesn't play.
All right. Well, you might have. I think we'll have some kind of an idea about that game today.
Yeah.
If I had to make a bet, I would bet they'll just keep pushing it. Maybe they'll push it to Monday or Tuesday. Right.
But if they're in the same spot that the Bills and Titans were. The Ravens play Thursday night.
Yes, which means that has to be pushed to at least Sunday. Their game against Dallas. Yeah.
Sunday or Tuesday. Yeah. So it's a repeat. The difference is that you've got a very high-profile player, Lamar Jackson, that's tested positive, right? So RG3 is in the spotlight and probably their starter for a week or two.
Well, according to the protocols, Lamar Jackson would miss their next game if it's still a Thursday game. If they play Sunday, Thursday, he's missing the Steelers game and the Cowboys game unless he gets two negative tests within 24 hours or something like that. So in all likelihood, typically if a player tests positive, you're quarantined for 10 days. In this case, he would miss two games for them.
Yeah.
unless they move things.
It's a big story.
So,
it's
yeah, it is a big story. It isn't, I mean, it, you know, Pittsburgh is still playing for the one seed. There's so many different storylines in terms of just what this, I was watching Adam Schefter this morning on SportsCenter, and I mean, there's four or five different storylines about just this game. And then he brought up the idea of, does this open the door for the league going to 8 playoff teams? No bye for the first team because they're going to have an imbalance in games. There are no byes left for anybody but Tampa Bay and Carolina. So there really is no flexibility left in the schedule if a game has to be pushed, postponed beyond that current week, right? So he brought up the idea of, all right, if they realize this is only going to get worse, the cases have increased, what's going to happen out of Thanksgiving? I think a lot of people are expecting another spike in cases because of Thanksgiving. If there's spread in the community and it gets inside the football teams who are not in bubbles. So, yeah, it's an amazing story just for that game, but also for the impact on the standings, on the schedule, and whether this leads to the NFL doing something about their playoff structure and maybe the number one seed loses their first round bye if they say, we're going to have to add an 8th team because it's winning percentages. People won't play the same number of games. So it's, 1-8, 2-7, whatever. So it's an amazing – I would love to actually be sitting in on the discussions the NFL's having because there's so many different scenarios they have to go through.
Yeah, I mean, one scenario, one question they should ask, and I think everybody should ask themselves this question before they react too much to what does this mean for the Steelers. Ross Tucker tweeted out an interesting note that if they go to 8 playoff teams, what happens? Guess who's number 8? Baltimore. So Baltimore would be rewarded – for getting, an outbreak. And that's not close to true. And the reason it's not close to true, and it's the reason that take a minute and think about that there are 6 weeks left.
Yep.
So, I mean, no, Baltimore doesn't benefit from getting this. They have to play without Lamar Jackson and J.K. Dobbins and a bunch of players. Baltimore does not
benefit. Their starting center's got COVID tested positives, a number of guys.
They do not benefit. The idea that, they're the 8 seed, so now they're being rewarded. Are they going to be the 8 seed in 6 weeks?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Right.
Do you know that? Does anybody know that? Why are we – it seems like everyone – not everyone, but a lot of people are reacting to it as a moment instead of – something that is ongoing.
Mm-hmm.
Are other teams going to have to miss games? My guess would be yes.
Yeah, I don't know how they're going to be able
Does the league build in week 18 for one game, or do they say, no, we're just going to go ahead and scrap that game?
Guess. But like you said, you don't know how many games are going to be postponed.
Right, right. Let's say hypothetically, it is the only one. Does every single playoff team now get a bye? Because you take a week off in between the end of the regular season and the start of the playoffs?
I don't think they would do
because
that.
That's basically what you would do, except you would have Pittsburgh play Baltimore. And if you're Pittsburgh and you're already in the playoffs, wouldn't you just rest your starters?
Yeah.
It's my reaction to all of this that's gone on is that I'm real tired of hearing from Pittsburgh. Real tired of hearing from Pittsburgh and how they've been screwed over and everything. They haven't been screwed at all.
Yeah.
Well,
there's a virus. I mean, it's really hard to contain this.
The league is trying to get a season in dire circumstances. Yeah. It is an ongoing problem. The Ravens didn't actively go out and do it for benefit. They didn't, flout the rules relentlessly. There was apparently one strength and conditioning coach who made a mistake.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, there's a report the Ravens also think that they contracted the virus in their game with the Titans. So,
they think Lamar Jackson got it Sunday.
Yeah.
Because the center he was taking snaps from tested positive. And in the locker room, apparently, Lamar Jackson's locker is next to the two running backs who tested positive. So that basically close contact with those players and then being by the center who I think also tested positive Sunday night, they think is where some of those positive tests went up. On Sunday, they believe during the game. See,
right.
the problem here, the one thing, look, I'm not going to yell and scream. It's a virus. Until someone tells me someone found a way to contain it, how are you going to get on the Ravens case? The only problem here is their strength and conditioning coach violated 1, 2, 3 protocols. Three different protocols. He wasn't wearing his mask all the time. He didn't report symptoms. And he wasn't wearing the tracing device. And so part of the problems they're having was that it was hard to do the contact tracing because the guy wasn't wearing whatever app or wristband or device you're supposed to be wearing. I guess he has subsequently been suspended by the team.
But, as he should, right?
Yeah, like that's, that guy, that's the problem. He was violating multiple protocols, which they believe led to this spread.
Right. So that guy should be disciplined.
Right.
But what I think happens in this spot is you get a lot of Pittsburgh. The reason I'm sensitive on Pittsburgh is because Andrew Filippone, who we follow, who we are colleagues with, former colleague at WGR, works there. He retweeted basically everything Pittsburgh in the last 24 hours.
Yeah.
So I've seen every player. I've seen Juju Smith-Schuster complain and T.J. Watt complain and every media member in Pittsburgh making all these points how the Ravens should have to forfeit and they should have to give up a first-round pick. And what it ends up being is when something like this happens to the Ravens, you know, there's going to be a break in the chain where something went wrong, like there was with the Titans. The Titans had their problem, and then they worked out when they weren't supposed to, and it was, holy cow, can you believe how careless they were? They should forfeit the season, right? Like we kind of got into the moment of trying to figure out what the appropriate
punishment
would through the
we went through the discussion. Bills fans were angry at the Titans, saying they lose the right to play the game because they messed up, they didn't follow the rules, the Bills get a win.
Right, but you and I both said we did not want the Bills to get a forfeit.
No.
Like, no, you didn't earn a forfeit because the team on your schedule had this problem, you know, that rewards you for doing nothing. So it's delicate. I get that. It's tough to figure out how to do this. The way to do it is to have protocols in place, which is one of them, an 8-team playoff on each side. So if Pittsburgh goes in as the one seed in an 8-team playoff, no, I do not think they've been screwed. I think what happens is protocols kicked in that were necessary to keep the season afloat.
Yeah.
Like that's what this is supposed to be about.
Yeah, the thing I can't get past is this. Someone tell me the Ravens did this on purpose to screw the Steelers.
Not.
I mean, how do you know, as angry as you can get, and Bill, like I said, Bills fans were angry at the Titans. Hey, we're off to a good start. The season's rolling. What the hell are you doing? Now our schedule's different. We're not playing. We don't know when you're going to play. And now it's a Tuesday and they get blown out and all that. Do whatever you have to do discipline-wise to the guy who's responsible for this. But, you know, you don't look at the organization and go, well, you know, they're 6-4. They knew they were going to lose the game. They didn't want to be 6-5. It's like Dabo Sweeney is now working on this one and said, you know, I think the Ravens did this
State's
on purpose.
Afraid.
You know, the Ravens didn't want to play us, so they did it on purpose so they don't have to play us on a Thursday night. I mean, come on.
Right.
You know, the only thing you should be angry about is the strength and conditioning coach who violated multiple protocols. But look, let's face it. You're watching games yesterday, right? At any point, did you see players on the bench who weren't playing that weren't wearing a mask? Yes.
Of course. Right.
That's a new protocol they violated yesterday.
That's the thing. You see breaks in protocol in every single game.
Of course you do.
On television.
Of course. And I'm going to guess that not every single human being in the organization is walking around the facility all week wearing a mask. Sometimes sometimes you just forget. Look, we're supposed to wear masks all the time in this building. And there's one or two. There was one time, actually, the bathrooms are outside of our facility. They're out in all. Okay. Anyway, it doesn't matter. I went to the bathroom like, oh, crap, I forgot my mask. So, you know, I pull up my hoodie over my nose and mouth, which isn't the greatest thing to do. Sometimes you do forget. You don't willingly violate protocols. You do forget. Again, that's why I said, you know, you can be mad at the guy with the Ravens who started this. But at the end of the day, you don't look at it and go, yeah, you know what? You forfeit. They didn't do it on purpose to miss a game against Pittsburgh. Baltimore needs games and needs wins to make sure they get into the postseason. So I don't know.
You're right. Like, that's a big part of this. That it's why the Steelers have exhausted me. Their holier than thou attitude. It's like, I bet I could watch last week's game and find a break in protocols during your game.
I'm sure you can find it in every game.
You can see it almost weekly.
Yep.
And that doesn't mean that they shouldn't have any protocols. It means, of course, hey, everybody's got to stay vigilant. You know, we're all on the same team here trying to get this season in. We might have to change the playoff format the same way that we've decided we're not playing in front of fans.
Mm-hmm.
The same way that, you know, now we've expanded the IR and expanded the practice squad. Like, the league's made all these changes, and the league knew this would happen, right?
Right?
We already went through it once with the Titans. We thought there'd be a historic penalty for the Titans. There wasn't. One of the reasons I thought there wouldn't be was because they were going to wait to see. Let's see if this happens again.
Yeah.
If they're the only team that has a problem and made us look bad and did yada, 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 well, then maybe we can ding them a third-round pick. But if the league had decided that day, first-round pick for the Titans. Well, now Baltimore's out one. And get ready
for the next three games.
You know, if it happens three more times, all of a sudden, five teams got docked first-round picks for, what, having a hiccup, and you know, I'm not trying to downplay how serious or important it is, but just you understand as a league, you're doing your best. You're asking your teams to do your best. These teams are taking it seriously, as far as I know. There have been plenty of reports of non-protocols here and there, and we can see it. So I'm just done with Pittsburgh trying to get wins and get a forfeit victory and get the Ravens to be, you know, docked a draft pick, and how the Ravens, the Steelers are being punished. I just can't take it anymore.
Well, I mean, in terms of being punished, the punishment, okay, instead of playing on a Thursday, you're going to play on a Sunday or maybe Monday or Tuesday. Instead of week, whatever the Titans was, week three or week four, it's week six, and your bye moves. And look, and I get it. Look, I am a creature of habit, too, if you're going
to
tell me.
They're about to get a bye back. If this game gets moved, well, they get a bye back.
Yeah, that's right. They wouldn't
play
this week.
And now they get two byes.
And I understand the whole, creature of habit. There's a schedule in place. There's a routine. You know when you're playing. Your practice scheduled, all that. And when it's disrupted, it can be really frustrating. So I completely understand that. But again, you'd have to show.
Everybody is going through that.
Right. There's a freaking global pandemic that nobody has yet to control. Not a single country in the world has figured out.
Depends on
this.
Your definition of control.
Okay. Yeah.
There are countries that definitely have it under control.
They're doing better than we are. Yeah.
There are countries that have eliminated it for the most part in their population. There are countries that can go back to concerts.
Yeah.
I mean,
there are
some that have done that.
Well, I wish can they send us some footnotes or like a to-do list? Because I really like to push through and stop it.
That, to me, that was the thing I saw yesterday. It was like, hey, Pittsburgh, read the room, man. Yeah. Like, now's not the time to complain about, oh, we were all ready to play on a Thursday.
Look what's happening with the virus numbers. For goodness sakes, for the first time in my lifetime, I watched the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade with no spectators. I mean, the world, you know, everybody's dealing with stuff. Yeah. Everybody's dealing with, and it is difficult. And I don't necessarily, you know, whatever. You're going to play the game eventually, Pittsburgh, so chill out. But it is difficult at a time when, you know, on Thanksgiving, when families are separated, maybe for the first time on Thanksgiving because of the virus, that, crap, what do you mean we got to play Tuesday instead of Thursday? Not the end of the world. You know, so the game waits 4 days. I mean, we get it. You're inconvenienced. It is not the end of the world. Like I said, to me, if there's one thing, the only thing I'd be angry about is the guy who violated all the protocols that started this mess. And he's been suspended. I don't know if the league does anything beyond that. But forfeiting the game to me is a non-starter. The question is whether, you know, you push it. Push it as much as you can. If you can play it Monday, great. If you can play it Tuesday, great. If not, okay, then you got to figure out what are you going to do about this game. I would guess you would say postpone, and then you wait. You play out the next 5-6 weeks. You see if other games are postponed, necessitating a week 18. You figure out if this Pittsburgh-Baltimore game means something after week 17. Maybe it does. Maybe it doesn't. Maybe Pittsburgh is locked into their seed. Heck, look at Baltimore, Jeremy. Baltimore is eighth in the standings right now. If they keep the current playoff format, Baltimore's on the outside looking in. You don't think they want to play and try and get a seventh win and get, you know, and try and get themselves back up in a wild card spot? I think you would, if you don't play it Monday or Tuesday, you would just postpone it and then see what happens with everything over the final six games.
Mm-hmm.
And then you leave yourself the option of, okay, we need to play it. We need to play four other games. We're going to have a week 18. Or it's one game, we don't play it, we go winning percentage, whatever. You can have those discussions, not today. You know, you can have those discussions in a few weeks as the schedule continues to play out. So that's, I think it can be very simple at the very latest. You try pushing this, here's what you do. One, we try for Monday or Tuesday. If it doesn't work, you postpone the game, we figure out what's going on at the end of the season with
maybe you don't even make it up.
Yeah, that's right. If it doesn't mean anything, then you don't have to worry about it.
Baltimore, it looks like they're going to be so far back that they couldn't even get the sixth spot. Pittsburgh doesn't have to play it. You could still do winning percentage. And then Pittsburgh doesn't get hurt.
Yeah,
you know, if you do winning percentage is the way you're going to slot your teams, Pittsburgh doesn't gain anything by winning the game. Their winning percentage is already perfect.
Perfect, right.
So
maybe they still get
games,
the one, right.
Yeah, they actually can't improve their winning percentage. So. Yeah. It's the Steelers complaining before there's anything to even complain about.
And they're going to win their division. They're three games up on Cleveland and Baltimore. So, in fact, Baltimore would be eliminated from the division if they lose this game. So, you know, again, from that standpoint, I think if you're Pittsburgh, you're just thinking more about, can we hold off Kansas City for the one seed? And you might still be able to do that whether this game is played or not.
And if they do or if they don't, it's a year where, you know, that seed is – if you go into the 8-team format, it's not worth that much. It's home field twice, just like the three times, I suppose. But you can't even have fans. Pittsburgh right. can't have fans, right?
They had some. Okay. They had some fans.
So you get some.
Yeah.
But, you know, it just – I'm rooting against Pittsburgh.
Yeah, I think they had limited fans in Pittsburgh. I'm trying to remember. Pennsylvania might have changed. I forget. I know Philly went from limited fans to no fans. I don't remember if Pittsburgh flipped it either, though. It is Football Friday, Bills fans, and we want to break down the Bills-Chargers matchup with you. There are a lot of things to talk about for Sunday's game, some really interesting questions to talk about for Sunday's game. The offensive line for the Bills, is John Brown going to play? The run offense, the run defense, is this going to be a high-scoring, crazy shootout? We'll get to all that stuff. Phone lines are always open. You got an opinion on the Ravens-Steelers discussion because that is the big national story. You want to talk about what you saw yesterday, that's fine. But we'd also want to talk to you about the Bills-Chargers game, how confident you're in Sunday's matchup that the Bills are going to win. They would need this to win to stay ahead of Miami for sure. The Dolphins will play the Jets on Sunday. My guess is the Dolphins would win. It is M&T Bills Fan Football Friday. Are you the Bills' biggest fan? Tweet us or tweet us at WGR550. Use the hashtag #CommunityBillsFans to be M&T's Bills Fan of the Week. M&T Bank is the official bank of your Buffalo Bills.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
We knew with the bye week and we knew with the kind of training room and training staff that we had, we were going to be able to get healthy and be able to get those batteries recharged. But you need that. You know, this NFL season is a grind. And so these next 6 weeks, it's going to be even more of a grind because that margin for error just got that much more smaller just because everyone's fighting for that playoff spot. Everyone's fighting for the division championship. So we understand what's at stake. So now that things are kind of getting tightened, we got to tighten our game.
Jerry Hughes and the Bills prepping for the Chargers, who are going to fly to Buffalo today. Get their bodies used to the time difference for the Sunday, well, by their body clock, 10 a.m. kickoff at Bills Stadium. Two football games yesterday. Houston beat Detroit 41-25. Deshaun Watson had a big day, 318 yards, four touchdowns. And then Washington moved into first place in the NFC East. They smoked the Cowboys 41-16. The WFTs are now 4-7. Now, the Bills did not practice yesterday. However, they put out, I guess you would call it an estimated injury report, what they think would have been the case if they did practice. John Brown was listed as not practicing. Cody Ford would have been limited, and Dawson Knox and Josh Norman would have been full participants. The Bills will practice today, and we'll talk about all this stuff with Sal coming up at 7. The Chargers have three key starters who are not practicing or have yet to practice this week. Jeremy's favorite offensive lineman of all time is on this list. Offensive tackle Brian Bulaga has not been practicing. Defensive end Melvin Ingram and cornerback Casey Hayward Jr. Mentioned in the first segment, more positive tests for the Ravens. Lamar Jackson, the latest to test positive. A dozen players have tested positive. The Ravens were told that their facility would be closed until Monday. Their game with Pittsburgh, which was to be played last night, has already been pushed to Sunday at 1:15. And might be pushed even further. We're expecting some kind of word from the league today. Larry Fitzgerald from the Arizona Cardinals tested positive for coronavirus. He will miss their game this Sunday against the Patriots. And the Browns shut their facility down yesterday after a second player tested positive in Cleveland. And finally, college football, continuing our coronavirus update. Tomorrow, a couple games already off the schedule. USC Colorado has been canceled. Oklahoma and West Virginia has been postponed. Those are your headlines. Next update coming up at 7 o'clock.
What about a Thanksgiving postgame show? How'd it go? Would anything jump out? Anything memorable?
No, you know me. I'm not the most memorable guy to begin with. No, it was look, it was nothing different for us because we don't travel for Thanksgiving. And my family's downstate, and my wife's family is basically her mom, and she lives with us. So we always have, it's just the four people, and we're in our house for Thanksgiving. So this was no change at all. So it was really same old for us. Food was delicious. My wife did a wonderful job cooking the meal. We have leftovers planned for tonight, which we're excited about. Watch some football. Watch the Godfather Marathon. Call a little bit of Planes, Trains, Automobiles Wednesday night. So I would say that this was like Groundhog Day. Like it was just your typical Thanksgiving day for me. I'll tell you what. There was one difference. I tuned in at 9 o'clock. I always watch the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade because my brother for years has gone from like handler to captain or pilot, whatever the, one of the people who leads everybody who's handling the floats. And this year was, of course, different. No spectators, no 2.5 mile parade, a lot of pre-recorded stuff, basically some balloons attached to trucks or whatever they were using. The parade route was like a block or two, basically in front of Macy's made for television. So I did watch that, and it was sad. I got to tell you, I was getting depressed watching what was this year's Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade. So I watched the first few minutes, and I kind of flipped that off. So that was the only difference.
There was a float of the Rock.
I only saw the first float. That was my brother's float. After that, I didn't watch anything after that.
Gotcha.
I didn't know that. What? Really, there was a float of the Rock.
Yeah, the Rock. Yeah, a young Rock.
No kidding.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder. Wow, that's interesting. Yeah, I mean, I would assume they did the usual superhero stuff and cartoon characters and everything. I didn't realize The Rock was on.
One thing along the way that I realized is that Thanksgiving Survivor, what ended up winning? Was it turkey and beer were like running tight in the poll?
Yeah, it ended up being turkey coming out as the winner.
Turkey, out of retirement, wins again.
We retired turkey.
We forgot a couple of really important contestants that I want to remember next year, like mac and cheese.
Saw someone tweet about that. Is that considered a staple at Thanksgiving?
If it's not, it's your mistake.
We never have mac and cheese with Thanksgiving.
We never did either.
Never.
Yeah, it's great. The other thing I thought about is we really need to get into a conversation about the kind. Mashed potatoes is too broad a term. There are mashed potatoes. There are mashed potatoes with like chunks in the skins.
Yep.
Then there's the whipped potatoes.
Right.
And, those, I don't want to have those be the same. Mashed potatoes with the chunks and the skins are way better than the whipped potatoes.
Let's see, what did we have yesterday? We had mashed potatoes that were a little lumpy. So does that count as chunks and skins? I don't know. Yeah. They're
a little
lumpy. Yeah, I mean, it was fine. Yeah, I can go either way on that one. I got to be honest with you, I don't have a strong feeling when it comes to the type of mashed potatoes. But we had those. Yeah, I don't, geez, I'm trying to think if growing up, we always traveled for Thanksgiving. We always went to either relatives. There was the occasional trip to New Jersey to see Jason Alexander's family, actually, for Thanksgiving. Or we went to friends in the area. I don't ever recall mac and cheese as a dish on the table, honestly. I didn't even know that was a thing until I saw that on Twitter.
Yeah.
Do you always have mac and cheese?
Not always. We did yesterday.
Huh. I had no idea.
Great. It was very important.
Yeah, mac and cheese. Don't get me wrong. I love mac and cheese.
It's a great staple.
It's lunch. It's dinner. It's everything. It's a side. It's a meal. It's easy to make.
It can be breakfast if you want.
Well, I don't know about breakfast. I mean, I've never had mac and cheese.
Would eat mac and cheese as a breakfast.
I mean, you
for
could.
Sure.
You could. Right. There's no question. And with our hours, we learned to be. You can eat just about anything for breakfast, as far as we're concerned. I think we've had ribs for breakfast once. Yeah. I don't. I'm going to tell you right now, in 363 days or whatever it is, I'm never going to remember mac and cheese, so put it in your phone.
we'll try it
in your phone as a note, and because don't rely on me to bring it back. I never heard of mac and cheese on the table. I always thought you got turkey, you got stuffing, you got your various potatoes, mashed, sweet, some kind of vegetable. We usually opt for the green bean casserole with the fried onions, and I think those are your staples and some rolls. We always have rolls.
Texter says next year's Thanksgiving Survivor needs to have the smell in the house on the draft.
Oh, man. I mean, when my wife starts making the turkey and she's in the kitchen, everything is coming together, and I'm like, man, I am hungry. And she's like, 4:30. Oh, man, it's only 1 o'clock. It's only 2 o'clock. It's only 3 o'clock. It smells fantastic. I look forward to leftovers tonight. Leftover turkey is awesome.
What about just like an overall just like dinner time? Because everybody has like that set dinner, like, hey, we're eating at noon. We're eating at 4.
What if I told you that I have a friend that as of last night at 6:37 p.m., he informed us they had not yet eaten.
Oh, that's he would not be a friend of mine.
6:30.
That's too late.
Why I can't believe it.
Why are you eating so late? By design, or was there a problem with the turkey?
No, that's by design.
Really?
In the course of conversation, he revealed that, this is a sensitive topic over here, or whatever, that their family tradition is to eat really late, 6:30.
I don't know why you want. And then you get stuffed. How do you get to bed until like 2 o'clock in the morning? Because you're stuffed. You fill yourself up at 7 o'clock at night, and you got to have a little distance after dinner between. You must distance the dinner and the dessert, right? Does anybody have room for pie as soon as you get done with the turkey meal? Of course not.
So the dinner's at 6. I mean, it was already past 6:30. So their dinner might have been at
7. Okay, and you're done
at 8.
Pie at 8:30, 9 o'clock? No, not for me. I think the primey. So I did see someone tweet about how they were eating at like noon or 1, and I thought that's too early to me. I think the kickoff of the second game is the prime eating spot.
Yeah, maybe. The golden hour, I would say, is anywhere from 2 o'clock to 4 o'clock.
Yeah.
That's maybe even I'd say 1 o'clock to 3 o'clock. I might want to move it up.
I think we ate a little later than normal. I think we ate around 4:30-ish yesterday, and I believe we usually eat, I'd say, between 3:30 and 4. But, yeah, it was a little late yesterday. But yeah, it's too big a meal. I need when I lay on the couch watching the Cowboys game, I want to have my meal, watch the football game, have dessert maybe at halftime of the we'll see. But mac and cheese. All right, I'll make a mental note of mac and cheese next year. It is Football Friday. The Bills are playing the Chargers Sunday at the stadium, and we're talking about it all morning with you, 803-0550. You can give us your Bills Chargers prediction. You can let us know how confident you are in a win on Sunday coming out of the bye. Of course, we'll have the game here. We've got your coverage all day long starting Sunday morning at 7, breakfast with the Bills. Bills game day at 8. Countdown to kickoff at 10. It is a 1 o'clock game on CBS if you're looking for it on television. Bills postgame show to follow. Nate Geary with the overtime show at 6. That is your lineup Sunday game day. 803-0550 to join us. WGR.
They're impressive in the back end. They got two guys on the end that can rush the passer extremely well. As a receiver, that's something that you jot down just because you know what kind of day you'll have as far as getting to your depth and getting to where you need to be on time and helping your quarterback. It's going to be another challenge for us offensively and something that I always say I look forward to. I like challenges. I've been preparing all week and going to continue to prepare.
Stephon Diggs, who, by the way, I've got a stat of the day. This isn't the stat of the day, but it is a stat. Stephon Diggs could go over 1,000 yards receiving on Sunday against the Chargers. He's got 906 yards receiving this season. And the Chargers, I would say, not exactly the best secondary in the world. So maybe he'll have a big day and get over 1,000 yards. Stat of the day for you on this football game, actually. I was just checking something because I didn't know the answer. Now I have it, but I'll give you a question and see if you guys know it. Stat of the day, by the way, brought to you by Skyworks, the official equipment rental company of the Buffalo Bills. Special teams has not been a good area for the Chargers this year. They're ranked in the bottom third in most of the key categories.
I saw this, and it is mind-blowing.
Okay, then maybe you have a different stat, because the one I have I don't think is necessarily mind-blowing, but whatever. Let's give it a shot. They've had a punt blocked in 3 of their last 5 games.
That's mind-blowing.
Oh, you really? Okay.
How many punt blocks do you think there are in a season?
Yeah, I don't even know.
I would have guessed 1 league.
They've had it in back-to-back games, the last 2 games they've played, in 3 of their last 5. So heads up, their special teams, a little shaky. Which led to this question, Jeremy and Brayton. Actually, Brayton knows the answer because I just told him. So made me think, hey, when was the last time the Bills blocked a punt?
Oh, boy. Cincinnati, right. Jason Peters.
I did the same thing. No, more recent. In fact, the guy who blocked the punt the last time the Bills blocked the punt is still on the roster. He is a defensive player. We heard from him in one of the bumps already this morning, in the 6:30 bump, I believe it was.
Jerry Hughes blocked a punt, huh?
2016 at Seattle. I don't recall the play, unfortunately.
Monday Night Football.
Yeah, would that have been the roughing the kicker that was never called game?
I don't know. I guess so, yeah. Right? That's
That is the game, yes.
Would have been, what was it, Carpenter?
Dan Carpenter, and yeah. I believe it was Richard Sherman hit him.
So that's the last time the Bills blocked a punt. Jerry Hughes in Seattle 2016. So there's my stat of the day. Watch out for special teams because it has been a problem area for the Chargers this season.
Man, if the Bills had three punts blocked in a season, not just three and five games, that is incredible.
I guess I'm glad then it's mind-blowing. I didn't put enough significance into the stat. I wonder how many there are each year. I mean, clearly teams can go years without blocking one since the Bills haven't done it since 2016. And you can also go, I would assume, a long time without having one blocked. Although last year New England, of course, blocked the Bills punt. That was the last time the Bills had a punt blocked in the game here against the Patriots. So there you go. 803-0550 to join us. We're talking Bills Chargers with you. How confident are you in this game on Sunday? And we know what's at stake. Win to make sure you stay ahead of the Miami Dolphins, who will play the Jets on Sunday. And don't forget, the next two games for the Bills are Chargers and Steelers. The next two games for the Dolphins are Jets and Bengals without Joe Burrow. And it's not Ryan Finley, right? Brayton, did you say who are they starting at quarterback? It's not Finley. Right?
Brandon Allen,
former Denver Bronco, is, I guess, going to start.
Started against the Bills last year and lost 20-3.
Yeah. So perhaps the Dolphins win their next couple of games. 803-0550 to join us. 888-550-2550. When we get back, Sal's going to be with us. We'll break down the Bills-Chargers matchup and more. Coming up, it is M&T Bills Fan Football Friday on WGR.